under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good. Good evening and welcome, everybody. Everybody stay warm. Warming up. Can I get a motion to approve the agendas presented?
I will move that.
Have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the meeting minutes for the January 2nd, 2024 regular meeting?
I will so move.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? On to new business. Can I get a motion to approve the absence of Councilman Madden on December 19th?
So moved.
Second.
Right. Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Now I'd like to introduce... Unanimous. Well, except for you, because you can't vote. Now I'd like to introduce Representative Barry Crago, House District 40, for a legislative update. Welcome, Mr. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council, Joey, thanks for inviting me. always enjoy coming down here and at least touching base. I'll try to make it quick, like our session will be. Budget session, 20 days, it will fly by. You know, for those of you that don't know, during our budget session, obviously, the main topic is the budget, and that's what we're really called there to deal with, is first and foremost, is get a budget passed so the state can operate for the next couple years. And then on top of that, we can address other issues if we're able to get them introduced on one side or the other, which requires a two-thirds vote, which will be, I think, exciting, I'll use that word, as we move through this session, because there's going to be a lot of hot-button topics. The budget's a lot larger this year. I think if you go look at what the budget looks like, and we'll get a final marked-up budget here pretty soon, and you know, I'll share that with all of you or anybody that wants to see it. Once we get a final marked-up budget, they were actually doing, I was watching some of that today, they were marking up the budget today, and working that, and that was, it's always fun to just pop in. If you haven't done that, go on Zoom and just watch appropriations, watch them at work. It's a pretty interesting committee, and the amount of knowledge in a couple of those people is unbelievable, the amount of institutional knowledge that some of those folks have, and we have a good guy by the name Don Richards that works for us in LSO, who is an absolute genius, really keeps the state running, to be honest, and so we're pretty lucky to have him, and just that they can ask him any question about anything, and he knows the answer. I reached out to him today, Julie, about the ARPA stuff. You know, I had a question about that before I submitted our request on behalf of the city. We got her in. Senator Kinski and I worked on that, and so hopefully they'll talk about that tomorrow. I think the ARPA markup's tomorrow. As far as actual topics that I foresee us spending time on in the legislature, I would say it's going to be property taxes. I think that's the top issue for most folks heading back there. There's a lot of different options on the table as far as what we are going to do to try to do some relief and reform, really two different things, some short-term stuff, some long-term stuff, and so I look forward to having that discussion and getting some good bills, some good ideas out on the floor, and hopefully finding some help for people back home. Obviously, our county is one of the hardest hit. I mean, as we have those discussions, you know, I'll say it again, we got to be careful, we got to make sure that our cities and counties are funded if we're going to institute large tax cuts. We got to make sure that we're not cutting also all of our services and figure out a way to do that responsibly. And so there's a balance there, and hopefully we can do that and have those discussions. And then obviously there's a lot of other things hanging around out there, but lots of social issues that, you know, we'll see which ones make introduction. I'm not that optimistic that a lot of them will make the two-thirds vote. We have a very short time frame. We have 2.5 days to do introductions this particular session because of the way the calendar sets up. And so anything that's not introduced by Friday of the first week will not become a bill this year, will not move forward, will not become law. So anyways, that's sort of the quick update of what we're looking at as we head to Cheyenne. We start on the 12th. First day is the 12th. That's our first week. We will meet for four weeks in a row until we're done. Hopefully we can get a budget passed. If not, we would have to go back for a special session, which could be possible this particular time around. And so just one thing I'd like to mention is, for example, I mentioned to Julie about the ARPA stuff and the water well request. I think we're pretty lucky where we are right here. We have a good set of legislators that work together. In particular, Senator Kinski and I team up on a lot of stuff. And especially when you get to appropriations, you want your House and Senate members working together, because if you both request something, it's the odds of it getting through are much, much higher. And so he and I try to work together on a lot of stuff. He's obviously an experienced member of that committee and knows how to get things done. And I'm very appreciative of him and the work he and I we are able to do together. And it's mostly because of his leadership that, you know, he tells me what to do, I do it, and it works out. And so it's helpful to have him. So I just wanted to give a shout out to him. I know he's coming to see you in a couple weeks. And so any questions any of you or the members of the public would have, I'd be glad to answer. And then also tonight, but also via phone or email, call me, email me anytime. Glad to chat before session starts, during session, or after session. And if you have any advice on how I should be doing my job, please give it, because I need all the help I can get.
I don't have any questions. I just want to thank you. I know that every time I've called, texted, showed up in Cheyenne, it's been minutes and you've had an answer for me, so I appreciate that. And I appreciate the representation that you give us while you're down there. So,
I normally don't have the answers, but I do know how to pick up the phone and call the people who do, and that's the key, I think, is there's lots of good folks that work for the state. You know, a lot of times the people in Cheyenne get a bad rap, but they're great public servants. They are working their, you know, what's off for all of us, and there's not been a time that I haven't called or emailed Don Richards, for example, and said, hey, I need help on this, and within minutes, I have an answer. I mean, it's amazing. It might be 10 o'clock at night, and he will email me back. He is amazing, and he's just one. He's an easy example because we're talking about appropriations and budgets this year, but all of the people that work for us in LSO are really, truly amazing, and we're thankful for them and grateful for them. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, Jim Dawson, Buffalo Trap and Ski Club.
Mr. Mayor, Council, thanks for letting me give you this brief update. It's going to be short and sweet. Julie, thanks for squeezing me in here. I'm not going to go over all this, but there's a copy for each of you who would like that. I'd just like to highlight some of the numbers. Membership is stable, still at 425 members. That way, a couple of things that bring some people into town that might be of interest is the ATA trap shoots. There's two of those annual, and it's almost exclusively for towners. Kurt back here is on the board. He has pistol shoots monthly, and once again, there's a bunch of out-of-towners that come in for that. The rest of the stuff is pretty much status quo from years past. One thing that pretty tickled with, we hit the 100-plus mark with our 4-H shooters. 107 kids signed up for 4-H shooting sports last year, so see what happens this year. Thank Kevin for helping us out. He's really got things looking good out there. I was always apprehensive on transitions, but you all know it's been good. Thank you. A couple things for future plans. There was a one concern about some safety protocols out at the range, so we're probably going to look at some more signage. We have our annual all-member meeting on February 5th, so that will be a discussion item at that meeting, and see what we need to do to enhance some of those safety protocols out at the range. Another issue that, not an issue, but a request from membership is that our trap shooting and skeet shooting is limited to when board members conduct open shoots or there's sanctioned shoots going on. The request was made to have some way where individuals or families can go out on their own. So I've been researching card systems. Thornton, which has a very nice trap range, has a system in place, and so does Casper. So that's going to be another discussion item out there. But again, there's pros and cons of that. So those are things that we're looking at down the road. And of course, at 4-H Eating Sports last week, there's going to be another run for a potential building out at the East Range, and we'll see what happens with that with funding, and we'll come see it at a later time. But unless there's any questions, I'm not going to tie you up. I appreciate everything. So,
I do have one question.
Sure.
Gotten to know a few people from Sheridan, and how do they contact somebody to become a member down here?
In Buffalo?
Yes.
Buffalo, we've had the sports store doing the purchasing of the, or we purchased the keys, given the sports store. They've been dispensing the keys and has the applications. And we've had that for years. Gotcha. Communication is lacking. The only thing that we really have to advertise that range beside word of mouth is the Facebook page. And it's pretty limited to the hits that we get. But Sports Lore does everything for us, has for years, and Lucas has been wonderful, you know. So
if these folks want to become a member and get in some of your shoots, they just go to the Sports Lore.
Correct.
Got that.
No, we'd love to have them, you know, get that membership back up to COVID year was the one big year where we had 450. We've been stable at 425, so.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next on the agenda, animal care provider service contract. Members, I think you guys have seen and circulated the contract, and the contract is between the city, the town of the city of Buffalo and the Buffalo Kennel Club, LLC. Cost is $500 a month for 1 year with the option to renew. Mr. Kirvin, you looked it over, correct?
Yes, I approved the contract.
Okay. With that, do I have a motion to accept the service?
Moved.
I have a so moved.
Yeah.
Do second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Done deal. Mayor's Board appointments. Paul Schumann, Buffalo Tree Board, 2-year term. Mara Abbott, Buffalo Johnson Recycling, Joint Powers Board, 3-year term. Christy Kessler, Mount Plains Heritage Park, Joint Powers Board, 2-year term. Jeff Shelley, Pool Board, 2-year term. Mike Miller, Pool Board, 2-year term. Chris Teal, Pool Board, 2-year term. Council, is it your pleasure to make a motion all in one, or would you like to do them separately?
I'd like to move all in one.
Okay. I'll second that motion.
All in favor of the mayor's board appointments, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? A whole bunch of people on boards. Reports, Mr. Kirvin.
No report unless you had any questions.
No questions. For me, anyway. Mr. Acey.
Mayor, Councilor, we don't have a lot to report. I did attend my first housing group meeting last week. They're planning a trip to Red Lodge on the 25th, kind of an all-day event, not overnight. They're kind of wanting me to go to that event. We're going to travel down there and see how Red Lodge group has done what they've done and see some of their housing units and ask them any questions, kind of how they got rolling with their program and stuff. I believe Councilman Madden's going to attend. Jim Waller, the county planner, is going to be there. And so I just kind of wanted to formally ask if I could go down there on the city's basically dime to attend this meeting with them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know.
Other than that, you guys have any questions for me?
I don't think so.
Thanks, Steve.
Chief Bissett.
Evening, Mayor. Evening, Council. Hope everybody made it through the weekend unscathed. Tonight, I'd like to talk about our Operation Blue Santa, that everybody's aware. And I would like to introduce Erica McCarter. She's our public safety administrator, also works at dispatch, kind of a jack of all trades, and helps me out greatly with everything that I need. So Erica and her husband, Brian is an officer of ours. They've been running this Operation Blue Santa for how many years now?
Seven years.
Mm-hmm. So not only are they working their full-time job, raising a family of three, one of which is only 3 months old, they still managed to spearhead this this year, and it was a pleasure to be a part of. This is my second year as chief. I was an officer, kind of helped him out as an officer, and so to see our community come together and donate money and services, and to watch these two go around on their own time off of work and you know, meeting with families and going shopping and doing everything that needs to be done to make this a success is really inspiration. And to watch our community come together and help and wrap and be a part of it is a pretty special thing. And so I'm proud to be a part of it, and I'm proud of our community. And with that, I'll let Erica kind of go over what they did this year.
All right, so we just wrapped up our seventh year, and this year we saw an uptick in donations, which was awesome. So we helped three families, 12 people total, and those families were all nominated through local help services, through the Johnson County School District, and through the public. So basically we get names given to us as a police department. We kind of do a vetting process, and we meet with the families, and then we select families based off of their need. So we raised $24,000 this year, over 108 different donations. We drop off letters to all of the businesses in town. That's, I'm not going to lie, Brian's job. So he drives around and he door knocks and he drops off letters. So we raised $21,000 in cash and check, and we were donated $2,000, or almost $3,000 in goods and services. So that's literally businesses, when we go to them saying we have X amount to pay for so-and-so needing their car repaired or windshield repaired, or we need an appliance. A lot of that comes from the businesses just opting to donate their goods and services at that time, which is awesome. We also get a ton of donations from like the gas stations for gas cards, from the grocery stores for food, and all of that. So our families were well loved on this year. Our support is provided through rent assistance, like I covered, food and groceries. We have in the last couple of years seen a lot of need in helping cover bills. Medical expenses, maybe families that have fallen behind on certain services. A lot of medical needs in the recent years as well, so those have been our biggest contributions, is helping families get a foot forward in those types of needs. And then, of course, the everyday, like vehicle repairs, vehicle registrations, and then my personal favorite are the wish lists, because that's the kids' gifts. So, what's cool about this year's wish list is we had a lot of families that were more interested in activity-based gifts versus physical gifts. So we were able to get kids enrolled in sports through the Y, sports through the community, swim lessons, different activities through the school system. So that was really encouraging. That's kind of our favorite part. So we've met a lot of really neat people. Like I said, this is our seventh year. We started this program. We raised about $8,500 our first year, so a jump to $24,000 is pretty awesome. And then each year, people have been reaching out to us with, you know, positive feedback, with names for next year. A lot of times Brian just walks into a business and they're like, don't need to tell me your spiel, just leave the letter. And so that's been really nice, positive for him. But I think the biggest thing that's come out of this program has been the pay it forward attitude. Our families have always mentioned that, you know, there's got to be somebody more deserving. There has to be a way for you guys to give back to somebody in more need. And our hope is that just by providing assistance to the people that we have, is that we're creating a pay it forward attitude that can spread throughout the rest of the community, and I think it has. So that's been really encouraging. So up to today's date, we've supported 29 families, which has covered 112 people. So as long as we can keep this program running, I hope that we can remain a part of it. So that's all I have, unless you guys have any questions.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks
for being the support person, of course.
Yeah, to watch these kids when you show up with the police lights on and they come out and you have parents just thanking you over and over and over and watching the smiles on their face, and it's pretty amazing. I actually let my daughter come along this year to help, and so it's very powerful. And so.
Well, like you mentioned, I have three. So I have a four-year-old, a two-year-old, and my infant. And my four-year-old was a part of it last year helping deliver, and she literally remembered this year her experience last year and was asking when she got to one. She wanted to see all the presents that we had bought for all the other kids. So that part we got to move past. But the next was the delivery. She, you know, to see it through the eyes of a four-year-old that doesn't really understand her, you know, what's going on in the world, to be able to be a part and give back. It's just cool. So it's great to, maybe that's something we can encourage moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Awesome job.
Yeah, thanks.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you very much.
Public Works, Mr. Silbernagle.
Council, we have nothing to report. So happy to answer any questions you might have.
No.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Anything from the engineering?
Nothing of great interest.
Okay. Are there any oral or written comments?
Council members, Mr. Mayor, Frank Morello. I'd like to, it's a touchy subject, I'd like to bring up. It's about the nuisance ordinance enforcement. I had a plan on how to talk about this, but I guess I'll start out. Representative Craigle talked about our taxes going up, and my taxes have doubled in the last 2 years, and I don't understand why my taxes have gone up except for inflation and cost of value, but I noticed that my taxes are not being used at the rate they're going up, as, for instance, enforcing the nuisances around my neighborhood. I feel that if I'm being taxed like I'm living in Beverly Hills, I shouldn't be living in a place that has used and broke down trailers and junk laying around in the residences around me. So I did a little research and I looked at the Planning Commission's Comprehensive Plan Report in 2007. And I'll just read a few of the paragraphs. You guys probably already know what's in it. As we've seen the assessment of Buffalo's problems and needs, Buffalo is regarded as a nice town by its residents. They were also quick to point out that abandoned vehicles, junk piles, weeds, unkept yards, and dilapidated, collapsing buildings are detrimental to the appearance and the reputation of our city. City entrances were noted to be unsightly and very, very unwelcoming to the visitors. This was a discussion on how to build personal pride in our place. Enforcement of existing city regulations related to the nuisances is important for two reasons. The regulation can help take care of many nuisance conditions, and given that they are part of the city code, the regulation should be adhered for the sake of consistency. And then I just highlighted a few. I won't go on much further, but the city should hire an enforcement officer. And enforcement and consistency are vital to the handling of these nuisances. That was on page 88 of this comprehensive plan that is on our website, on the city website. I also found on chapter three, community issue identifications, how to keep city looking nice, especially by long timers. Junk cars, how to enforce it. Tourists, how to keep them here, keep coming as a destination. And then how to keep the vocal committees that oppose the use of the land, which we know this is a very touchy subject. People think that it's their property. They can put whatever they want on their property. I guess in my thoughts are, I understand the needs for, let's go back to the tax. I heard a rumor that we're probably going to try to get another 1 cent optional tax going to repair some infrastructure. I myself would not be too inclined to pay for that 1 cent extra, being that I'm not even having the nuisance enforcement taken care of. And Mr. Acey, I understand that you're a very busy man, and I know that this is way beyond what you can do. You just got too much on your plate. That's why I feel we should maybe have an enforcement officer. I feel that with this ordinance in place, it's to protect my rights for a clean, safe, and aesthetic place to live. I understand that we have a need for infrastructure and have it repaired for the extra taxes. I understand that. But again, if there's junk campers and broke down four-wheelers laying around in front yards, I really don't care about a pothole. I feel that I'm not just coming here to complain, so I feel that I should give some type of a help with a solution to this problem. One of them is educating the community that we do have ordinances in place, and I feel an ordinance is just like a law. Just like speeding or going the wrong way down a street or parking in no parking zone, the laws need to be followed, and they're not. We have to enforce them, and we have to hold people accountable. I also heard something about a five-year planning. Councilwoman Camino, can you tell me a little bit about that, or is this not the place?
This is a great place. We're working on updating that 2007 plan. So working on, and so we'll be holding community meetings, open houses, putting out surveys for input like this, because that's what's important, is to listen to the citizens.
Okay, very good, and I'll be watching for that.
Okay.
So with that, I do want to say that in my neighborhood, when I moved in, there was maybe one property that was a little run down, but just today, before I come here, within 200 square yards of my property, there are 700 or 7 properties that are in violation of this ordinance, and they're not just minor violations; they're big. I love my neighborhood. I don't know how we're gonna get out of this, but I do have, if I can approach. I did come up with some ideas. Councilman Madden, I got this one here. It's got a little note on there. I don't think it's a place of discussion. I think maybe you can look at them, and if you need to ask me any questions, I fell short one.
That's okay, we can share. May I ask where you live?
I live on 948 North Burritt.
Thank you.
And I have a lot of neighbors that have the same concern as myself, but I guess I'm the brave one to be ready for some retaliation. But I think I have some ideas here that would help the community to not fall into a violation, that the city can help, and maybe we can get the county to maybe help us as a city. But that's really all I have, unless you have some questions.
I don't. If I do, get in contact with you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Mayor, if I could just respond to some of that. We deal with these on a case-by-case basis. I did go to some of the addresses that he said were out of compliance with, when it comes down to it, they're just not. I mean, there were some complaints about a camper on a property. Well, I can't do anything about a camper. If it's broke down, the wheels are busted off of it, and it's fallen over, yeah, that's one thing. But just a camper parked in the yard, no. There were some goats in the yard. Well, there's no ordinance against goats in the yard. Nothing I can do about it. There was some wood stacked up not as neatly as he would like in somebody's yard. That's not a nuisance. That's somebody's firewood. So, I mean, one man's look at being a nuisance and someone thinking it's junk may not be junk to another person. And there's a line there you got to draw of what is junk and what's not. I mean, I definitely, you know, if they are abandoned vehicles that don't have license or registration, that's one thing. But having more than one car in your yard that's running and functioning isn't a nuisance. It isn't. That's not how that ordinance works, in my opinion. So, you know, I'd be happy to go back out. I believe that was probably 4 months ago or so when we did look at that. And so if there was new issues, certainly we'll go look at that again and reevaluate. But you know, some people's idea of junk and some people's, they're just different than what others are. So I feel like we're being pretty fair. We've cited, as you know, a few houses here in the last few months for that kind of stuff. So it's kind of one of the things of what is junk and what isn't, and where does that line draw on that ordinance. So, okay. Thank you.
And I appreciate you bringing concerns over to you.
Oh, sure. I just wanted to say that we've got people in that neighborhood that have the same kind of concerns, but they have their obvious reservations about coming in and publicly pointing these things out. And I don't know if there's some, you know, the gentleman here, Mr. Morello, said that maybe we need a compliance officer or something. It doesn't sound like that's really what we need, but we just need, I don't know whether it's best to just go through a neighborhood, a specific neighborhood, and do a detailed analysis on those, or if we just kind of do them all over the place. But that's one of the things. And, you know, I've been by his place, and it's a bunch of nice, smaller houses that you can tell which ones are really taking care of the place. I mean, it's pretty good. And, you know, another one that's come to mind, I can't miss that because it's the way to come into downtown Buffalo is you go past the entrance to the fairgrounds. And if you look on the other side of that, there's a junkyard there. Well, the guy lived in that junkyard until he died a while back. And I'm sure they found him. He's gone. But, but you know, I think that's going to last me longer than my new life expectancy, you know. I remember there's nothing in there that somebody could defend and say we have no junk here. This is all heirlooms, or I don't know what they call it.
But on that particular one, Councilman, I know the family is working to clean that up, but
oh,
that's a process in and of itself.
Okay. Well, that's just an example.
Yeah.
No, I do agree. And like I said, we will definitely go back case by case and, you know, revisit the situations. I know just in the ordinance, it's outlined to what a derelict vehicle is or what an abandoned vehicle is, and it's outlined pretty, you know, good of what that stuff is and what that entails. So, I mean, just because some firewood's not stacked nicely or someone has a few goats, I mean, I just, nothing on my behalf that I can do about that.
What about a snowmobile that has no license plates on it and no runners on it?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not, it's junk.
Yeah, that's what we would call a derelict vehicle, yes. And so, yes, that can be dealt with, yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that there could be more education out there, too, as well.
I agree.
So.
Yep.
That would mitigate some of this.
I think we're all on a same trajectory.
Yes. Mayor Schrader, Council. My name is Rachel Wojta. I live in the same block as Frank. It does talk about in this ordinance about abandoned junked vehicles on private property, so I guess it just needs to be kind of reviewed really thoroughly on what exactly that means. I just want to add that I agree with Frank. I mean, he's my neighbor. We're friends. We hang out. We talked about this a lot. I moved around a lot before I moved to Buffalo, and I always rented, and I never cared what the neighborhoods looked like because I was a renter. It didn't matter to me. But when I moved to Buffalo, I realized it was a place that I wanted to stay. I love this community. I've been here for 8 years now, and I'm going to live here for the rest of my life. And I bought my first house here. And I bought my house because I liked it, but I also bought it because I really liked the neighborhood. It's a beautiful neighborhood. Like you just said, it's cute little houses. And I take pride in keeping my yard nice and keeping my house nice. And sadly, in the 7 years that I've been living in that house, the neighborhood is losing its aesthetic appeal. And it's really disappointing because I have pride in my house and I want my neighbors to have pride in their houses as well. And eventually I probably will sell that house and move to a different one in Buffalo when my boyfriend moves here. But I would really hate to lose money on it because ordinances are not being enforced and because my neighbors have junked vehicles in their driveway and ATVs without wheels on them. And so I just hope that we can find a solution to this. So thank you.
Any other oral or written comments? Ms. Miller.
Hi. Not the same complaint. Barking or howling dogs, noisy animals. This is your ordinance section 417.2. Any animal which makes continual or repeated barking, screeching, howling, yowling, yelping, neighing, braying, mooing, crowing, quacking, pawing, snapping, bleeping, or other noises in excessive, continuous, or untimely fashion that otherwise disturbs the peace of others. I went to you. You said we have ordinances on the book. I was told to go to the city attorney. I did. Four of us filed a complaint. City attorney served the neighbor with the barking, howling, yapping, dogs and baying. Went to the first judge. I got it moved to a second judge. He agreed to do the same thing both times, build a fence and use a bark collar. Nada. Year and a half later, I have a dog that still howls. You contact the owner, get over it, boo-hoo. Nothing. So I'm coming back to the city. Here's your sections. Here's your chapter 15 of nuisances. Enumeration, not exclusive. Things interfering with peace or comfort. Sounds, animals, or things that interfere with the peace or comfort. I've been told my house is too thin of walls. Here's covet of quiet enjoyment by law. I am entitled to have the quiet enjoyment, and my neighbors have the quiet enjoyment of our homes. Here is the police department calls that I had made when we went to court the first time. And here's the complaint, October 23rd, 2001, that was signed and filed with the attorney. Would you like to listen to the howling dog? I have over 29 recordings.
I don't need to hear.
I'd like to know what the city is going to do about this public nuisance that I get to listen to and be insulted by my neighbor that I need to have a house that doesn't have paper thin walls. I'm retired. I would like to have the quiet enjoyment of my home. I'd like to work with my flowers, not this time of year. I'm doing cooking classes. I enjoy cooking. A howling dog does not make a nice day. It's to the point where you're taking value from my home, because when I go to sell it and I have a howling dog, that's going to prevent me from selling my house. So we have a problem. The city has ordinances. I would like the city to enforce them and remove the dog. I've been there 4.5 years. I've had up to 4 dogs barking, howling, and baying. It's a hound dog. Now I just have a border collie that's second, and a neighbor that doesn't give a rat's patootie. So what is the city going to do to help facilitate the removal of a permanent nuisance?
I will work with the city attorney and see what can legally be done.
Thank you.
Are there any other oral comments?
I just have a clarification question. Does the new animal care contract cover cats and dogs? Let's see.
Mm-hmm. No. Dogs.
Dogs.
Okay, that's what our service contract is looking for.
Okay, so when a resident calls and says they found newborn kittens, what do we tell them?
They can take it to the shelter.
But you don't have a contract for services with the animal shelter.
But your shelter provides shelter services for our...
Okay, thank you.
Any other oral or written comments? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Amber Eggers with the Chamber of Commerce here, and I just kind of wanted to give a little bit of an update about what's happening at the Chamber. So just a few updates from the Chamber. Miss Marilyn Connolly with the, I believe it's the county or the city here, she and I met, and we are going to be preparing an ESF plan, a lunch and learn January 30th for our members, and we possibly will open it up, depending on how many members we get for that, to the community. It'll be January 30th from 11:30 to 12:30, and we're just going to give our members the opportunity to make a plan and have a plan in set for, God forbid, something tragic happens downtown or within our city and our community. That way our members have a plan and know what to do from there. So we are going to be providing that. I have met with JCTA, I've met with several people in the community. Going to be meeting with JOCO first, and the chamber, or the three of us, are the three entities that are going to try and get information about what it is that we all three do and help educate our community, as well as get something planned for just give our community an idea of what it is the three of us do and potentially work together. So those relationships are being met and communicated with each other. We as a chamber are going to be evaluating what has been working, what hasn't been working for us. And that includes our events, past and present events. We are working on our financial foundation, kind of moving forward with the chamber. We're excited to have a full board, and we are always open to new board members. And I kind of just wanted to read, since they have everybody here, just kind of the chamber vision. So our vision for the Chamber of Commerce is to reignite its role as a prominent business leader, dedicated to foster a thriving local economy. In the coming year, our focus is on comprehensive evaluation of our strategies, ensuring financial stability, and delivering unparalleled value to our members. Through proactive engagement, we will be boots on the ground, asking the hard questions and offering hands-on classes to empower our business community. Together, let's build a chamber that actively shares a prosperous future, and I eagerly anticipate the opportunity to connect and collaborate with you. Thank you. Questions, comments?
We have that 1% application period. Have you been appraised of that?
Yes, I have. And okay. February 25th, right, is the deadline?
Yeah, it's the 23rd. February. So.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure you work on that, I think. Too.
We will. So thank you for that, Mr. Ben. Thank you.
Are there any more oral or written comments? Hearing none. Announcement. City County meeting January 16th at 7 a.m. City Council meeting January 16th at 5 p.m.
That was today.
Never mind. You're more than welcome to come at 7 a.m. You're more than welcome to come at 5 p.m. Planning and zoning meeting January 23rd at 1 p.m. and 1% application deadlines. February 23rd, the next city department head meeting will be February 6th at 7 a.m. And the city county meeting will be at, looks like, February 20th at 7 a.m. City council meetings at 5 p.m. on those same dates.
Can I get an approval of the bills as presented?
So moved.
Should I get it?
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? With that, no more business before the council. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I will so move. We adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Have a good evening, everybody.